This is the LA Local Morning Update, keeping you caught up with the latest from KNX News. Check back this afternoon for the LA Local's full daily briefing on what you need to know in SoCal.
Another arrest linked to the Taylor Swift terror plot. The retail theft bills at the state capitol getting close to getting passed. First, though, what are the police doing to stop all these burglaries in the Valley?
Well, they're still going on. There was a big meeting in the Valley last night. A couple of council members and police talking about what they're doing. And there have already been more burglaries. Let's get the latest live from Encino this morning. And our John Bear.
Early this morning, police think the so-called sneaker burglars were at it again. They hit a high-end store in South L.A. and escaped with more than $100,000 worth of merchandise. And police think it was the same group that hit a sneaker store here in Encino 2 days ago. Now, the meeting last night was really focused on residential burglaries, and police say they've saturated the area with foot patrols, officers on horseback, helicopters, and undercover officers, too, Deputy Chief Ruby Flores.
We also have directed our officers to very specific missions in Encino.
They say they've made two arrests so far, but they also believe several burglary crews are at work. Police say residents should install lighting all around their homes and cameras, too. Deputy Chief Amanda Tinkerides.
And that you have cameras not just at your front door, but on the sides of your house and behind your house, and that you're communicating with your neighbors about ensuring that you have more camera presence on your street.
Police say the burglars have been breaking in to the sides of the homes and in the back because there are no cameras there and they can't be seen from the street. But Mike and Vicky, they also suggest you have a plan for your family in case somebody breaks in. What you're going to do, where you're going to hide, and who's going to call 911.
John, thanks. Several bills meant to crack down on the retail theft, the organized retail theft, making it through almost the state legislature. One more vote, and then they go to the governor's desk. It's a package of bills, and what they're trying to do is slow momentum for this ballot initiative in November. That's Prop 36, and that one would roll back parts of Prop 47, which is being blamed by some for a rise in crime. So we'll see how that goes.
A serial sexual assault suspect has been arrested near the UCLA Med Center after a two-hour chase. Art Sanders says the mostly slow-speed chase started in the Harbor area, headed north on surface streets in the 405, with a man tossing some stuff out his car as he went.
He repeatedly sped up to avoid police pit maneuvers. KCAL News helicopter reporter Desmond Shaw followed the action.
Oh, yeah, here we go. A pit maneuver. An attempted pit right there.
Police on several occasions attempted to lay out spike strips to stop him as he generally adhered to speed limits and even stopped at red lights during the chase. At one point in Westchester, he pulled into a gas station and appeared to throw something out of the red SUV toward a man who was pumping gas. Unclear what he may have thrown. Police described the driver as a serial rape and possibly armed robbery suspect. Highway Patrol officers say the person is wanted for rape in Boston. I'm Art Sanders, KNX News, 97.1 FM.
There's been a third teenager arrested in the terror attacks that were planned at the Taylor Swift concerts in Vienna. Austrian authorities say the 18-year-old Iraqi national taken into custody yesterday, believed to have ties to the main suspect, CBS correspondent Ian Lee. Closer look at that alleged mastermind.
Law enforcement says his plan was to use bombs and knives to kill as many people as possible outside the stadium. According to officials, he quit his job on July 25th, days after pledging himself to ISIS, claiming he had big plans. Police say they found hydrogen peroxide in his home, which can be used in the manufacture of explosives, as well as bomb-making components.
They also found a siren. The authorities say he was going to use that to try and get past security. Suspect quit his job a couple weeks ago, days after pledging loyalty to ISIS, saying he had something big planned. The director for public safety in Austria saying the plan was to detonate a device inside the venue. All three of those shows canceled.
Israel has agreed to the demand issued by President Biden and leaders of Egypt and Qatar for Israel and Hamas to start up those ceasefire talks again next week. The U.S., Egypt, and Qatar all say it's time to complete a deal and get those hostages freed that have been held in Gaza. BBC News reporter David Bamford has more on the possible resumption of talks.
The mediators' joint statement said a new framework agreement had been forged with only the details of implementation left to conclude. Hamas has not yet responded. The renewed diplomatic push comes amid escalating tension in the region following the killing of the Hamas political leader Ismail Haniyeh in Tehran. There's concern that future talks could be more challenging now that Yahya Sinwar has been chosen as Haniyeh's replacement.
A senior U.S. official says they have about four or five areas now of disagreement.
20 minutes and nonstop news presented by theloanexchange.com for all your home loan needs.
The first presidential debate between Kamala Harris and Donald Trump is set for December 10th. ABC, we talked about it with The Hill's campaign reporter, Brett Samuels.
I mean, this is must-see, right? The next big moment with only 3 months before the election. We've seen him debate already. No matter how people slice it or say, you know, she's a prosecutor, she's going to go after him. This is a huge test for her.
Absolutely, yeah. And this is going to be really, I think, a defining moment of this sort of 3 month sprint of a campaign between Harris and Trump. You know, it's sort of the big opportunity for Vice President Harris to make an impression on the country, to both introduce herself to a lot of the country, but also show that she can kind of go toe to toe with Trump. So, you know, very, very high stakes for the September 10th debate on ABC. And then depending on how that one goes, I think it will dictate whether or not the two sides have any interest in agreeing to another debate after that.
Yeah, I mean, people are already reading a lot into what Trump said about wanting not just this one, but then two more. Are you reading into that, too? Because the old saying goes, like, if you're asking for more debates, then you're in a troublesome spot because you shouldn't want to if you're way ahead.
Absolutely. You know, I mean, that was the takeaway, I think, when President Biden and his campaign pushed for a debate in June. They wanted this early debate because they wanted to change the trajectory of the race. So you could similarly kind of read into what Trump is saying there. I think he wants to kind of put pressure on Harris to get on the debate stage. But depending on how that one goes on September 10th, it'll be interesting to see whether Trump feels like he needs to do another debate or whether he feels like he got what he needed and he no longer is interested in doing that late September debate that he had floated yesterday.
What do you think the prep looks like for her? Because she wasn't great during the 2020 campaign. I think people can agree on that when she was up there on stage. But then plenty have been like noticing lately, they say, well, she's got like some swagger now. She's got more charisma, or at least she seems to.
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of folks who I talk to who, you know, as you said, observed that 2020 campaign have pointed out that she just seems a lot more comfortable now. She's obviously been doing the job of vice president for 3.5 years. So certainly she has more experience under her belt. She's a little more comfortable in her role. And, you know, she seems very comfortable kind of taking it to Donald Trump and almost seems to relish kind of getting under his skin in a way. So I think, you know, certainly it'd be interesting to see. I think her prep will consist of folks, you know, preparing her for attacks that are likely to come from Donald Trump about her record, tying her to President Biden, attacking her record in California. So that would certainly be a big part of the prep. And, you know, it'll be a big test for her if she can kind of stay even keeled and avoid getting knocked off message by Trump, who loves to just kind of rile up his opponents on stage.
So we saw it yesterday because the news conference was over an hour. Are they still looking for like an effective response to the energy that the Harris-Walz campaign has? Because we see the attacks and there are easy things to go and hit her on, and he's doing that. But they're having a problem, it looks like, matching this new energy that the Biden campaign did not have.
Yeah, it's been a total 180. And I think the Trump campaign, or at least, you know, the former president specifically, is still kind of grappling with the new reality that, you know, he's no longer kind of coasting to a win in November against President Biden. He now has to contend with a new candidate who really seems to have, you know, rejuvenated Democratic voters, excited the base. She's drawing these huge crowds of thousands of people. And I think it was kind of visible in this press conference yesterday that former President Trump is sort of, you know, annoyed or bothered, or it really seems to be a wearing on him that all this coverage that Harris is getting, you know, this talk of these huge crowds that she drew about 15,000 people in Detroit the other night. You know, when he got asked about those crowd sizes at this press conference, he kind of rolled his eyes and said, give me a break, you know. So he personally still seems to be kind of grappling with this this newfound momentum that his opponent has heading into November.
That is The Hill's campaign reporter, Brett Samuels. Afraid of flying? Researchers say it is safer than ever. And if you like wine, but not its effects, there's a buzz-free alternative.
I'm in it for the effect.
Yeah. Coming up, 20 minutes of nonstop news continues.
A little more campaign news. Kamala Harris and Tim Walz in Arizona today, set to get an endorsement of a prominent Latino civil rights group. First time the League of United Latin American Citizens has ever endorsed a presidential candidate. They've been around 100 years. Spokesperson saying they trust Harris to do what's right for the community, the Latino community, and the country.
Donald Trump and Kamala Harris have agreed to at least one debate before the November presidential elections. We talked about that, and it is set for September 10th on ABC. Trump made the announcement during a news conference yesterday at Mar-a-Lago, repeatedly attacking Harris, often with false and misleading claims, calling her barely competent. He also said that San Francisco Mayor Willie Brown once told him terrible things about Harris while the two were riding in a helicopter that almost crashed.
In fact, I went down in a helicopter with him. We thought maybe this is the end. We were in a helicopter going to a certain location together. And there was an emergency landing.
Brown told Cron TV up in the Bay Area that's not true.
I've never done business with Donald Trump. Let's start with that. And secondly, I don't think I'd want to ride on the same helicopter with him.
Brown also insisted he never said anything disparaging about Harris to Trump.
Somebody did post a picture. So you do know each other, though. You appeared on that one episode of Suddenly Susan together. So saw that on the Twitter. Debbie has weakened from a tropical storm to the post-tropical cyclone. Still lots of rain to the East Coast. National Weather Service meteorologist Mark Chenard says the remnants cover a wide area.
Some heavy rainfall, some wind, an isolated tornado threat. That stretches all the way from South Carolina now up into New England. So it's kind of a broad system. That's typical once these systems begin, like, transitioning from a tropical to an extratropical storm.
Even some tornadoes damaging a school in the Carolinas and some homes.
Speaking of the Carolinas, a flight carrying Carolina Panthers players and staff slid off the runway and went into the mud overnight at Charlotte Douglas Airport. 188 passengers on board. No one was hurt. Delta says it apologized to its customers for the inconvenience.
Are you afraid to fly?
Forget what you've seen in disaster movies. Researchers from MIT say commercial air travel is the safest it's ever been. Your risk of dying in a plane crash has fallen almost 40-fold since the 1960s. One in every 13.7 million passengers globally met with a fatal incident between 2018 and 2022. Back in the 60s and 70s, one person died for every 350,000 boardings worldwide. The MIT team says the risk of a fatal airline accident has fallen by 50% per decade ever since. Vicki Barker, CBS News.
More this morning on the heat records showing dangerous new extremes. In July, on record as the hottest month ever in California. Here's Natalie Davidian.
About half of the state of California has seen a lot of days with triple-digit temps, dangerous fire conditions. UCLA climate scientist Daniel Swain.
So the Park Fire remains quite active on its northeastern flank, but the good news is that the current second wave of this two-peaked heat wave that we talked about last week is nearing its end. So temperatures are now still hot today, but going to be cooling into the weekend and into next week. And in fact, it looks like weather conditions will be pretty calm as we head towards mid-August. So it looks like conditions will be near or even slightly cooler than average. Yes, I said cooler than average.
Lancaster and Palmdale had an average of 104.9 degrees, and Palm Springs hit its hottest day in history and the hottest month with an average of 114.9 degrees. I'm Natalie Tavidian, KNX News 97.1 FM.
The Olympians, a lot of them drinking that non-alcoholic beer. Now we've got non-alcoholic wine.
It's a new option for people who want a glass of wine but don't want the alcohol. Bodvar Hafström is CEO of Bodvar House of Rosés.
Now you can actually have this feeling, the rosé wine in the glass, the pink beautiful in the glass, and be, you know, among friends without having all the questions. You can still, you know, continue the partying, and it tastes as good nowadays. You know, it wasn't like that before.
Hafström says he expects non-alcoholic wine to be very popular with young people who, he says, prioritize health and wellness and are much more mindful of what they're drinking. I'm Chris Seidens, KNX News 97.1 FM.
20 minutes of nonstop news. All right, the Olympics, final weekend. Yeah, we were just saying we're really going to miss it. We've got Team USA basketball today, women's soccer going for the gold against Brazil tomorrow. I feel like the marathon's always the last thing. Live from Paris now, reporter Steve Futterman.
Hey, Steve.
Hey, Vicki and Mike, how are you?
Well, welcome. We appreciate you coming on with us. You know, there have been so many things to enjoy about the Paris Olympics and and so many ways to enjoy them. What have been some of the highlights for you?
Well, I mean, I love Simone Biles. I've followed her career since Rio through the trauma that she went through in Tokyo and here. And I thought that was quite a joy to see. But some of these events at the track stadium where I'm at tonight have just been phenomenal. Noah Lyles in that amazing 100-meter race, winning by not 5/100ths of a second, 5/1000ths of a second. It was just remarkable. And of course, last night he finished third. He was racing even though he had COVID. Now they have the 4x100-meter relays tonight for both the men and women. We don't think Noah Lyles is going to run, but you never know till the end. The U.S., if they can hand off the baton, this is always the big issue for the U.S., if the Americans can hand off the baton, they should win both the men and the women's 4x100-meter race. But the last event here tonight is the event I've been looking forward to for 3 years, a rematch from Tokyo. It's the 400 meters hurdles. That's the race, if you're old enough to remember, Edwin Moses used to dominate for the U.S. Carsten Warholm from Norway is the man. He is the Edwin Moses of this era. He's up against someone who is clearly number two, but he is number two, Rai Benjamin from L.A. They were 1-2 in Tokyo. They both broke the world record, but Warholm got the gold and Benjamin got the silver. So this is a great rematch. That's what I'm looking forward to tonight.
You know, how do you think it's gone over in Paris overall? Because I feel like you've been to other Olympics in the past, right? And how do you think it's going to go over when we get it in 4 years here?
Well, listen, you judge the Olympics on the Monday after it ends, and it's always about, for the most part, security. Were there blips in security? And there's still a few more days to go. I mean, obviously, you can't let your guard down. The Paris security people have been very good. I don't know if they've disrupted any planned acts against the Olympics or what, but it's gone fairly smoothly right now. The fans seem to be happy, and just a lot of joy in Paris. L.A. will face the same hurdles. You know, the venues are pretty much there. L.A. knows how to do it. But will the security issues hold up? That's really always the biggest issue, even though the athletics are what's in the spotlight. Security is the biggest concern at every Olympics.
You know, somebody said the other day, where are all these people going to park when they come to Los Angeles? You mentioned security, but, you know, there's transportation and issues surrounding that.
Right.
Do you think security will be the biggest issue that you would flag for officials here in Los Angeles, or is there something else?
Well, no, security is always the biggest issue because that can disrupt any Olympics. Obviously, Los Angeles does not have a great, well-used transportation, public transportation system. It's improved. It's obviously much better than it was in 1984, but it's going to be very difficult to get people around. They will have special lanes. They will block off lanes. I will tell you one thing, Vicky. I'm old enough to remember very clearly the 84 games. The first day of the Olympics, I lived at that time in Agoura Hills. I drove to the Coliseum. There was no traffic that day. People were so scared of what the traffic would be in L.A. in 84 that people started remotely working at home for those couple of weeks. It was actually some of the smoothest traffic I ever experienced.
Everyone will just leave
LA
town this time.
The Olympics.
Yeah, I bet remote work back then looked a little different, too.
Exactly.
All right. Steve Futterman there in Paris. Steve, nice to talk to you. Thanks. Enjoy the last couple of days.